I got you. No, seriously. You were created to prosper. Somebody asked me this morning, where is that in the Bible? Well, it's all over the Bible. There's many scriptures all over the Bible. And I can't give you all of them this morning. We'd be here a long time, and I know you don't want to do that, but you were created to prosper. God never created a one of you to fail. God never created a one of you to fail. And there are principles in the scripture that if you follow those principles, God will bless you. Now, this is not a get-rich sermon. This is not a health and wealth type sermon, okay? It's based upon the scripture. It's looking at thus saith the word of the Lord, and it's examining what God has to say to us about our relationship with Him. Because listen to me. If your relationship with Him is not as it ought to be, then your relationship as far as your giving will not be as it ought to be either. Did you know that most of the marriages in America today, the failure in those marriages starts over a misunderstanding of money, a mishandling of money, poor stewardship on the part of the husband and the wife in that relationship? And from that, arguments develop, confusion comes, and God's not the author of confusion. Satan is. The Bible plainly tells us that. And so, as a result of that, it many times leads to a breakup in the marriage and a division in the home. This is one area in your life that is an indication of your heart. You may say, well, I'm committed. You may say, and now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I didn't say you weren't saved. I didn't say that you were not a Christian. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. What I'm telling you is that this is an indication of your relationship with God. You have heard me say since I've been here that show me where a man spends his money and I'll tell you where his God is. Or who his God is. Or how he relates to his God. This is always an area that makes people kind of antsy and they draw their feet back under the seat of the pew because for whatever reason, our mindset is that what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine if I can figure out how to get it. You know, my name is Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me. And that's an attitude that pervades in our society today. In fact, we are taught in our prosperous that you are a failure. Now, I know that Jesus said the poor you'll always have with you. I understand that. I understand all of those concepts, but he was talking about a situation in which there were those that for whatever reason found themselves in those situations. Today, I want you to open up your hearts. Someone asked me today if I was going to shout and dance and jump a pew, and I said, well, if the Holy Spirit leads me to, I will. But God loves a cheerful giver. That's what the scripture says. Someone asked you a question this morning. Do you enjoy giving? I'm going to share a lot about my personal life and Miss Roma's personal life in this, okay? I'm not saying it for a pat on the back. I'm saying it to give God the glory. Long time ago when I went to work, it hadn't been too terribly long, but it's been over 10 years ago, I went to work with the Lexington Baptist Association. Johnny Rumbo said to me, he said, Brother Johnny, he said, you represent the Lexington Baptist Association. He said, you're going to be going into a lot of places. He said, it doesn't matter how the waitress treats you or doesn't treat you or how good the food is or how bad the food is. He said, I want you to tip generously. And I began that. I had not been doing that. I can tell you that this morning. I had not been doing that. I still, as a pastor, I still had the mentality, well, if it's poor service, I tip poorly. I always gave at least 10%, but I tipped poorly. In other words, I didn't put any extra. But I began to understand then that my attitude towards that waitress and towards the server and towards the food was an attitude towards God. Hello? Jesus said, as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto who? Me. So, Rome and I started something else. When we have been out because of my surgeries and we miss a Sunday and God's tithe and our offering doesn't make it in here, and we add an extra 20% to that, because that's always the minimum that she and I tip now. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm not saying that to boast. I'm saying that there's a principle here that if you learn to become cheerful about it and learn to enjoy what God wants to do in you and through you, you see, out of our life shall flow what? Rivers of what? Stinking dead water, right? What? I can't hear you. Living water. You have the opportunity to pour into somebody else's life. Give and it shall be, Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. So I'm going to tell you a lot of stories this morning in this message, not to bring any attention to me or to Roma, but to help you see the journey that we've been on, okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? So that you can enjoy the journey too, okay? All right, take your Bibles and turn with me to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. When you find it, stand up, please. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Malachi. It's just before Matthew, by the way. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, pull your smartphone out or either get your Bible off the back of the pew there. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. All right, we're going to look at several verses of Scripture. There are numerous Scriptures that we can look at today, but we're going to just look at a few. Okay. I'm going to start at verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, how have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Okay, now look up here. Notice he didn't just say tithes. He said tithes and what? Offering. Now, don't miss what I'm about to say. The offering is always above the tithe. Always. If you haven't done now, well, I'll go ahead. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, okay? That there may be meat in mine house. Test me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, I didn't read verse 9. Because I wanted to read verse 9 now. Verse 9 says, you bring a curse. I know you're going to argue with me, and that's okay. You can argue with me. You can be wrong. That's okay. You're going to say that's Old Testament. Okay, good. Then if Jesus, and he did in Matthew, commended the scribes and the Pharisees for tithing, and they were religious but lost, but they were tithing. If he commended them for tithing, and he did, he said, you tithe of mint and cumin, but yet you have left out the greater thing, which is love. Okay? If he commended them for tithing, and he did, and they were religious but lost, then how much more important is it for you and I to understand this principle and live by this principle so that God can bless us and that we don't tie the hands of God and prevent him from being able to bless us. All right? Now take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark. By the way, this one's not in your scriptures there. Mark chapter 12, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, New Testament. Mark chapter 12. Verse 41 and following. And Jesus sat opposite the treasury, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow. Notice that she's a what? Jesus said, you will always have the poor with you. Okay, y'all with me this morning. Thank you. That's good. Okay. And there came a poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make up a farthing. By the way, that's about an eighth of a penny in today's wages. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast in more than all they who have cast into the treasury. But all they that did cast in of their abundance. In other words, it was easy for them to do. It wasn't a sacrifice. It wasn't hard at all. They had an abundance. But of her want did she cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now turn with me to 3 John, all the way back, just before the little book of Jude and Revelation. 3 John. Now, in 3 John, there's only one chapter. John writes, the elder, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved? Beloved. This is a tender term. It's a term used all throughout 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest be a failure. Somebody asked me, where is the word prosper in the Bible? That thou mayest prosper and be what? In health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now look up here. We just finished a series of messages on the Holy Spirit, didn't we? All right, look carefully now. Don't miss what I'm about to say. Would the Holy Spirit lead the Apostle John to write something in the first century, in the latter part of the first century, AD 90 to AD 95, would the Holy Spirit lead the Apostle John to write something that is going to be forever recorded throughout all of the ages of history, God's history, that was incorrect? Thank you. You may be seated. I think you know the answer. I think you understand the answer. Let's talk about God for a moment here. Let's talk about God. He is your healer. Have you ever been sick? Have you ever faced disease? God is your healer. We saw that. Thank you, Leon, for that beautiful, beautiful of all of the names of God. He is our Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. He is your provider. Have you ever been in need? Have you ever been without? Now? Or in the past, or maybe in the future. He is our Jehovah Nissi. He's our Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. He's our Jehovah Nissi, the one that walks before us. He is your defender. Remember, the battle is always the Lord's. It's always the Lord's. Satan came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John 10:10. But I came that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. He is your comforter. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane a long time before you and I ever found ourselves in our Garden of Gethsemane. He was there a long time before you and I. He is our comforter. He is our counselor. Have you ever been in a crisis before? You need advice? Then read his book and believe his promises. Believe his promises for salvation. John 3:16. Everybody knows John 3:16, but everybody doesn't believe John 3:16. Most Baptists know Malachi 3:10, but most Baptists don't believe Malachi 3:10. And therefore, they allow the enemy who came to steal, to kill, and to destroy to rob them of how God has chosen to bless them. He is your Prince of Peace. He is your Jehovah Shalom. Living in a great storm? Take courage. Jesus slept in the storm. He is your God of all hope. Ever had a moment when total helplessness and hopelessness literally consumed you? Do you have a problem today? Friend, you are right on the edge of discovering and releasing the power of God in your life today. If you have a problem, if you have a problem in the area of your finances, if you have a problem in your marriage, if you have a problem in your home, in your family, if you have a problem on your job. My son-in-law is pretty smart. He married my daughter. And he was sharing with Miss Roma and I the other day. We were eating over at their house, and he was sharing with us. He's going to a leadership institute. And I thought to myself, as he was sitting there and literally teaching me, I thought to my, and Tim's a whole lot younger than I am, about 19, I think. But anyway, he was talking about how that companies no longer value their employees. And that part of the problem we are facing in our culture today is that people do not feel of value. Do you understand that God wants you to feel of value? Do you understand that He feels that you are of so much value that He gave His only begotten Son, the best and the greatest thing that He could ever do for all of mankind, and His blood was shed on Calvary's cross that you and I might be cleansed of our sins. All of our sins. That our sins might be buried in the sea of forgetfulness and blotted out as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us again. Do you have a problem? Then, my friend, you are on the verge, if you'll allow God to help you today, you are on the verge of experiencing God's blessings. You remember the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt? God baptized them through the Red Sea, and He immediately led them into the wilderness. And while it was in the wilderness, He fed them for 40 long years every morning with manna until they decided manna wasn't good enough. And they said, God, give us some quail. And God sent the east wind and brought the quail in. The quail made them sick, and even some of them died from it. Don't ever listen to me. Point your finger at the cook and the provider. Hello? Are you listening? So listen to me this morning. Maybe the reason that you're having some of the problems is because God's trying to teach you that He is your provision. And you don't want to trust Him enough to let Him be your provision. And so you're mismanaging. You're trying to make things happen. You're trying to make things take place. And you're working on all the energy you can to try to make more and make more. And it seems like your pockets have more holes in them every day. And it just keeps pouring out, pouring out. Pouring out. My wife sitting back there, she'll tell you that I had sets of tires on our cars that ran over 100,000 miles. You remember Sarah's road handler made by Michelin? I promise you, I put over 240-something thousand miles on a car. I never put but two sets of tires on the car. I can tell you that I didn't have a washing machine to break or a dryer to break. I can tell you we didn't have appliance issues. You know why? Because I was tithing, and so was Miss Roma tithing before we got married. But when we got married, I mean, this is crazy stuff to talk about on your honeymoon. But I mean, we're sitting up in the motel, and she pulls out a Bible, and she says, let's have devotion. And we start talking about the principles of our life and what those principles should be in our life and how those principles should guide our life. And she said, Johnny, there's one thing I want us to always do. And my mind was everywhere but where she was. Go ahead, laugh. You've been there too. If you hadn't, listen to me. You're not alive. And so she said, Johnny, I want us to tithe. I told Jeannie the other day, the only hot check we've ever written, we wrote it to the church. And it was the tithe check. And the reason why it bounced was because it happened to be on the weekend with a holiday, and my check was, I made $37.50 every 2 weeks. That's $75 every 4 weeks. Miss Roma made $95.20 a month, and we tithed off of it. Now, I know that was in 1964, but we tithed off of it. And the reason the check bounced is because the check from the government didn't get to the bank because of the holiday, the weekend and the holiday, and we wrote the check, and the treasurer came back to it. It wasn't much, but it was the tithe. You see, it wasn't mine, it was the tithe. And so we told it to take it and go back. It would go back through, and it did. And look up here, don't miss what I'm about to say. We've never had a hot check. Never. Turn that thing off, Jim. Thank you. Turn this one off. It's going to tie me down here, but that's okay. Holy Spirit, you got to take over here, okay? All right, now listen to me. Don't miss these principles, okay? Quickly, don't miss these principles. They are so important. So important. He is your healer. He is your provider. He is your defender. He's your comforter. He's your counselor. He's your Prince of Peace. And he is your hope. Now, if God could take care of the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness, and they didn't have a Walmart to go to. Their shoes never wore out, their clothes never wore out, and they never got hungry. Now look up here. My Bible tells me that I've never seen the what forsaken, nor his seed what? Begging for bread? The righteous. You want to know how your righteousness is this morning? Where is your heart on giving? That's between you and God. You can ask Janie French, ever since I've been here, I don't know what one of you give. I don't even know what my wife and I give until the end of the year. We was at a place yesterday, and I'm sitting at that place, and the Holy Spirit convicts me about something. And I have a figure in my mind. And Roma says, you want to make a donation? I said, yes, I want to make a donation. She says, how much you want to give? I said, well, how much do you want to give? And she said, a figure. And I said, that's the exact figure that I had in my mind. Write the check. Listen to me this morning. When you are walking in obedience to the Lord, husbands and wives, there won't be an argument. There won't be a question. When you're walking in the will and the purpose and the plan of God, there won't be one question. You see, God wanted to take the children of Israel to the promised land, but he had to teach them before they could get to the promised land. He had to teach them that I can be and I will be and I want to be, if you will allow me, your provider. I will be your Jehovah Nissi. I will go before you. I will prepare the way. I will take care of all of your needs if you just trust me and be obedient to me. And so he took 40 years for him to learn that he could be trusted. So I want to ask you a question. How many of you remember Sayers Roebuck and Company? Raise your hands. Go ahead. You can raise. Some of you old enough to remember Sayers Roebuck. Some of you young people, that was Walmart years ago. Okay? You remember Sayers Roebuck had good, better, and best? And boy, you thought you'd really done something when you were able to not buy just the good dry or the better dry, but to dry the by the best dry. I mean, you really thought you, boy, you would really be able to do something. Well, I want to tell you something this morning. Let me tell you how we Christians are. God gives us good. And we latch onto it so tight. We hold onto it so tight and so strong that he has to rip it out of our hands because, you see, he's got something better for us. Something better for us. I hear this saying, and I've been guilty of saying, God is good. All the time, God is good. And I understand the Bible says God is good. But I want you to understand this morning, listen, don't let that word good settle in your heart to the point that all that you understand and all the concept that you have in your mind is, well, God's a good God. I want to tell you this morning, he's a great God. He is the best God out there, and he has the best for your life and for my life if we will only be obedient. You see, he has to rip then the better out of my hand. You see, I'm just gripping it, I'm just holding on to it, and I won't turn it loose. Well, listen to me. You know what he's going to do? The same thing he did with the children of Israel. He's going to send you around the mountain a few more times until you decide to let go and let God. You know why? Because God has the best for you. God has the absolute best for you. God never takes something from you unless he wants to give you something better in the place of it. He never, never robs you. Never has he robbed you. Not one time has he ever robbed you. He always has the best for you. Always. Always. So it's a matter of our obedience. Do we really believe it? See, I ask people all the time, you believe John 3:16? Oh, yes, I believe John 3:16. You believe Malachi 3:10? Well, I don't know. See? You remember Abraham? You remember all the way back in Genesis, the scriptures on your bulletin? You remember he paid tithes to Melchizedek? You remember who Melchizedek was? Melchizedek was the priest of Salem, which is the first time that the name Jerusalem is mentioned in the scripture. He was the priest of Salem. He had no beginning and he had no ending as such. And he was the priest of Salem. And when Abraham met Melchizedek, he paid him tithe of all that he had. Now, what was the promise in Genesis chapter 12 to you and I today? God said, Abraham, look all out there. Now, Abraham was the eldest. And there was a law, still is. There was a rule, there still is. Just like this rule, this law I'm talking about here today. And we can like it or we can lump it. It is a principle that God wants to guide our lives by. And that God wants to bless us through. And God said, Abraham, take a look. Well, you remember before God said to Abraham, take a look, you remember what had happened to Abraham's herders and Lot's herders? You remember they'd gotten a big fight over the water rights and over the grazing land. You remember? And you remember what old generous Abraham did? He stepped back. And he said, Lot, take whatever you want. He didn't have to do that. He was the eldest. It was his. But he stepped back and he allowed his nephew to take whatever he wanted. And because of that, God said, now, Abraham, wherever your footsteps, whatever your eyes see, I'm going to give it to you, and it is yours and your generations forever and forever and forever and forever. And Abraham, not only that, everyone that blesses you, I'm going to bless them. Friend, you're under a covenant this morning, or either out from under it. You want to know why you're having trouble in your finances? You want to know why you can't make ends meet? Because you've stepped out under the blessing of God. And there's no way that God can bless you when you step out from under his umbrella of protection and his umbrella of blessing, which is his inerrant, infallible word of God, which is true without any mixture of error, which shall not return void, but will accomplish that which he sends it forth to do, and will bring forth that which is pleasing unto him in your life and in my life. I know some of you probably won't be back, but that's okay. Go ahead and let the devourer rob you. Go ahead. That's what he came to do. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm so blessed that you all would let me preach to you. At my age, most pastors have been put out to pasture. They have. Miss Romo, I'll tell you, made me feel pretty good. I had a little church call me the other day, wanted to know if I'd consider being their pastor. At my age. You know why? Because they know I preach the truth. They know I tell the truth. They know I present the truth. They know I don't make people feel good. They know I don't pacify. They know I don't pat on the back.
They know I love them with all my heart, but because I love them, I want them to see the blessings of God manifested in their life and the fullness of God become a reality in their life.
I look at Joey Kugler back there, and I don't mean to single him out, but I think of a story that I told him a few years ago about R.G. Letourneau, the owner of Caterpillar. R.G. Letourneau started out with nothing. And God began to bless him because, see, he was being faithful to God. He was giving back to God. And finally one day he said, God, I'll give the 90% and I'll live on the 10%. Go look it up. Pull it up on your computer and look it up. Google R.G. Letourneau and read the story about how that a man decided, I can live on the 10%. God, you can have the 90%. And he did. And God just blessed him. One of the largest earth mover equipments in the entire world. Worldwide. Because he honored God with the first fruits. And that's another one of these messages. The first fruits. Not only with the tithe, but with the first fruits. I got to hurry. I still got a page to cover. David said it was good that I've been in trouble. You see, it was while David was in trouble that he learned that God could provide, that God could take care, that God wanted the very best in his life for him. Note, an oyster and a grain of sand have a conflict. But it is out of that grain of sand when the oyster begins to secrete the fluid that a beautiful pearl that is worth millions of dollars is created. You see, God puts us in the situations to squeeze us so that we'll learn to depend on Him. And when we learn to depend on Him, then we'll understand that wonderful, beautiful avenue He's given us to bless others. Don't let Satan rob you of that, church. Don't let Satan rob you of that. A rubber band's no good until it's stretched. A loose rubber band laying there is not any good until it's stretched. And you don't know who you are until you're stretched, until you put in the squeeze. And then you begin to understand that God can be, will be, wants to be, desires to be your provider, your absolute, total, and complete provider. You know why God created the mouth of a bulldog with his nose turned up like that? So he could bite and breathe at the same time. Yeah. God never makes a mistake, does he? Well, then, folks, this is a principle. He never makes a mistake. He's trying to tell us something. He's trying to help us understand something. He's trying to help us to realize something. He's trying to help us to experience something. Look up here just a minute. I'm going to tell you some stories. You got a few minutes? Let me tell you some stories. I finally was able to buy one pair of Rockport shoes. Y'all know my feet. My feet's about like my hand. Okay? See? There we go. You know what I did? I couldn't afford it anymore. That's true. So you know what I did? I got them resold after resold after resold after resold after resold to finally somebody in church felt sorry for me. I bought used tires for years and years and years on my car. I put the best tires on Roma's car. I drove on used tires. I bought the cheapest batteries, put the best battery in my wife's car. You know why? Because when we left Waldburg, after we'd been there 6 years and came to First Calvary, they wanted Miss Roma not to work. She was a 35-year-old woman. This was 1979. She was making $37,000 a year then. And I got to First Calvary, and First Calvary is over twice bigger than the church I was pastoring. I said, "Ooh, boy, this salary is going to be at least twice as much." Guess what? It was less. And guess what happened in a year and 9 days? Miss Roma shows up expecting a wonderful little joke.
And the Southern Baptist Convention Annuity Board back then had an insurance policy that paid nothing on well babies. Thank God she was well. And on top of that, I almost died 3 months before John is born. And I lay in Baptist Hospital, and for 3.5 months I'm not able to preach. And then 19 months after Joni, little John comes along, guess what? He's a well and a healthy 6'7", big old black man now. He was a monster when he was born. Paid nothing. Every tooth that Joni cut, we've reminded her and Tim over and over and over, you're blessed. You just don't know how blessed you are. Every tooth that came in that girl's head was a trip to the doctor with ear infection. Her Eustachian tubes were so small they wouldn't grow. Dr. Tom knows what I'm talking about. Some of you nurses know what I'm talking about. Dr. Call, you remember Dr. Call, a member of this church, our pediatrician that went home to be with Jesus. Dr. Call said, leave her alone. We're not going to put tubes in. They'll grow. They'll expand. Yes, they did. They finally did. But every one was a trip to the doctor. Now count the teeth in your baby's head. Where did the money come from? Many times Miss Roma would get out the car and there'd be a $20 bill. There'd be a $5 bill. There'd be a $10 bill. One time a $50 bill. One time a $100 bill. I can't tell you who lost it. I have no idea who lost it. But God planted it so my wife would find it. For years and years and years and years, we walked and lived by faith and by faith alone. But listen to me. We never one time took God's money to pay a doctor or pay a bill. We trusted God. Totally and completely trusted God. I went to my doctor the other day, and I'm thankful to tell you all, Tom, I don't know what your opinion might be, but he said I had the body of a 45-year-old. I plan to be around a long time. You all that are members of this congregation know what I have been through. That's been the history of my life. But my faithful, godly wife and I, through all of it, has said, God first. People ask me all the time, preacher, should I tithe off of the gross of the net? My word, if you've got to ask that. Hello, I guess God only gave you the breath and the energy to earn the net, huh? So go ahead. If you're mind to let God bride you, you're going to answer to him one day. Trust me, you're going to answer to him one day. Listen to me. You may not answer for adultery or fornication. You may not answer for murdering or lying. You may not answer for any of those other things, the works of the flesh. But listen to me. You will answer for robbing God. You will answer for it. And if he's blessed you today, you ought to be a blessing to others. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water into the life of others. God is the founder of the University of Adversity. And he will put you in adversity as long as it takes to teach you. And he'll send you round and round and round and round and round that mountain as long as it takes until you learn the lesson. And my friend, if you don't learn it, and you don't learn it soon, you're going to be robbed by the enemy. He will continue to rob you. That's why he came. We always think that verse applies to lost people. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, 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 no. He's already got them. They're in his hip pocket. He wants to take away from you. He wants to steal God's promises from you. He wants to steal God's blessings from you. Because when he steals it from you, listen to me, he's stealing it and smirking in the face of God. And so you and I, when we fail to be obedient, we allow him to do that. Get over the idea of quitting on God. Grow up. Get over it. He has never quit on you, and he never will. Never, never will, church. He'll be there in your darkest hour. When that doctor walks into that room and your wife is sitting there expecting the second child, she's 3 months away from delivering, and he says, "Miss Muller, we know what's wrong with your husband, but there's nothing we can do." You want to know why I preach with such passion? Because I've lived it. I've been through it. And I know it to be real. I know it works. I've been there. I'm not telling you stories I've read. I'm telling you life history of Rumor and Johnny Muller for 53 years, and it's worked. Young people, listen to me today. You're thinking about marrying that young man that's all fuzzy around his cheeks and has all that curly hair, wavy hair on the top of his head. One day he'll look like I do. He'll be old and decrepit. He'll have white hair. And every tooth in his mouth will be a makeover. Listen to me. It ain't important how he looks. It's important what's here. And young man, listen to me. You want to start out right? Start out with God. Start out obeying God. Start out with doing what God tells you to do that he can bless you through. I got to hurry. The key to prospering is the presence of the Lord in your life. You want to prosper? The presence of the Lord. The key to the presence of the Lord is obedience. I've already talked about it. I'm going to move quickly. It's obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You remember what Jesus said? If you come to the altar with your offering and you that you have aught against your brother, first leave the offering and go and reconcile with your brother, and then come back and offer your offering. You know why? Because even though you may bring it, you're bringing it under the wrong pretense. There's aught in your heart against your brother. God says reconcile. Listen to me. Forgiveness is not for them. It's for you. Hello? Listen to me. Forgiveness is not for them. It's for you. It's in order that God may bless you. It's in order that God may pour out his spirit upon you and that he might bless you with his manifold blessings. It's for you. The poor widow, she cast in all that she had. All that she had. I wonder who was going to take care of her next meal. I wonder who was going to take care of her next need for a piece of garment. I wonder who was going to take care of her next need. But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by and through Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. Do we believe it? No, we'll work our hands to death trying to make ends meet. We'll settle for the good. We'll settle for the better when God has the best for us. The key to obedience is faith. Do you really believe God's going to take care of you? Do you really believe that? Do you? Then why do you sit in the pew on Sunday and rob him? You're not hurting anybody but yourself. Seriously. Seriously. Listen to me. If your mismanagement is so great and your bills are so great that you've got to rob God to cover your bills, then listen to me. Your faith is about like that. You want to know why I say that? Because faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. And hearing by the word. So either you believe the word or you don't believe the word. See? Hello? See? There's no escape there. You can come up with all kind of justifications. The word has the power to totally change you. The word has the power to totally deliver you. I shared with Jeannie this week as I was preparing in my heart for this message, and I've had a good while to prepare for it. And even last night I was sitting there and God was still speaking into my spirit. But Matthew 6:33, turn to it now as I close this message. Matthew 6:33. I'm sorry, y'all, my watch has stopped. I have no idea what time it is. I'm serious, it has. It stopped. Matthew 6:33, you found it? There we go. Thank you, Mike. Let's say it together. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things. How many? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not be perished. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And how many things? All. I want you to leave here today believing that. I want you to leave here today applying that. Listen to me. I want you to say right now this morning, this is not about Pastor Johnny. This is not about Dutch Fort Baptist Church. This is about you and your relationship with him and what he wants to do in and through your life and how he wants to use you. And I dare you this morning. He said, trust me, try me, prove me. I dare you to start trusting him. I dare you to start trying him. I dare you to start proving him. And the next time you go into a restaurant to eat, don't you dare tip on how that waitress treats you or how you think the food is. Remember, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. Most of those people working in a restaurant today, listen to me. Since our government did what they did, their health insurance has been cut away. Their hours has been cut back. That's why you see in the turnover in most of the restaurants today. They don't have health insurance. They don't have health coverage anymore. It's been taken away from them. Why? Because their employer probably can't afford to pay it. More than likely. Their hours have been cut. So they're working more than one place. And listen to me, church. If there was ever a day and ever a time that we can be a witness to them and let them know the love of God in our hearts and in our lives, start tipping and just do it for fun. Just do it to have a blast. Just do it. Just do it. And watch what God begins to do in your life. All of a sudden, it'll start coming back to you. You see, you can't cast your bread on the water without it coming back. I could just go on and on and on. I've got to stop. You can't. It's an undeniable, unbreakable principle. Listen to me. That principle is just as secure and just as real as your salvation. You can't lose it. Let's pray.